1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. People are celebrating a short-lived rebellion now in Russia. CBS's Ian Lee has details from Dnipro, Ukraine.
Residents cheered Wagner fighters as they left the Russian city of Rostov. From the heroes' farewell, it'd be hard to tell the mercenaries failed in their mutiny. The group's leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, smiled and posed for selfies on his way out. Some greeted the returning Russian authorities less warmly, hurling insults.
Prigozhin's now reportedly heading into exile in Belarus. The U.S. Coast Guard has officially launched an investigation into a submersible that imploded in the Atlantic, killing all five people on board last week. Captain Jason Neubauer.
The NBI is currently in its initial evidence collection phase, including debris salvage operations at the incident site, and evidence collection in coordination with Canadian authorities in the port of St. John's, Newfoundland.
Crews are still searching for more pieces of that wreckage. More than 50 million people are bracing for extreme temperatures in the South now as a dangerous heat wave expands from Texas. So far, it's killed at least two people. But we're also keeping an eye on severe storms that are moving through the East tomorrow. Weather Channel meteorologist Paul Goodlow.
It's really in the afternoon hours we start seeing that heating of the day and the cold front approaching. Showers become thunderstorms, become lines of storms, producing damaging wind, potentially even tornadoes.
Parts of the Ohio Valley, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Southeast could be affected. In Montana, water quality testing is now underway after a major chemical spill. CBS's Jerika Duncan reports.
Cleanup is underway in Montana after a bridge collapse and train derailment. However, it's unclear which happened first. It did send freight cars with potentially hazardous material tumbling into the Yellowstone River Saturday. Luckily, no one was hurt.
The train was carrying asphalt and molten sulfur. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is hitting back against former President Trump's comments about his weight.
It's like a child. It's a bully on the schoolyard who teases you and makes fun of you. But here's my message to him. I don't care what he says about me, and I don't care what he thinks about me. And he should take a look in the mirror every once in a while.
Christie on Fox News today. They are both running for president in 2024. Trump set to rally voters tonight in Michigan. And thousands of people celebrated Pride today in New York City.
It feels really cool to know, like, I'm okay with being myself here and I don't have to, like, look over my shoulder and be afraid.
We got to come and party with everybody, you know.
Big cities all over the country partied today. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after rebate plus 2x O Rewards points with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. If your vehicle's AC is blowing hot air, beat the heat with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Fox. GTWLawyers.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 58. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 70. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this May 28th session, something, something or another. Your host and program director here, James, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Appreciate you being here, Seth. And we asked the best audience radio to welcome to the WFHR stage Mark, Milo, Lars. We have come together for a tribute to Jeff Goss. We'll have some conversation along with some music from Weevils, KGP, Lizards, plenty more. We're going to have a little bit of some solo work of Jeff's as well. We're looking forward to that. I wanted to start things off with a quote, if you guys don't mind. If bearing a reputation as a weirdo is all it takes to be a genius, I'm a shoo-in. Oh, wait, no, that's not the one I wanted. I'm a guitar player. Really, I mean, first and foremost, I grew up with all the great 1960s music. In terms of growing up, becoming a musician, so it's like the first love stuff. I've always going to come back to it. I am a guitarist first. Todd Rundgren. Certainly starting out with Todd Rundgren when we're going to talk about Jeff is, I think, a pretty good place to start. I did really like that first quote, so I had to throw that in there because both of those also felt like Jeff quotes. Like, you guys know Jeff way better than I did, but knowing him a good 15 so years and everything, if somebody asked me, what's the first thing you think of with Jeff? I think of him with that guitar. It's the first thing I think of. So let's go ahead and go around the table here, let you guys introduce yourselves and how you knew Jeff. Mark, if you don't mind, I'll start with you.
How did I know Jeff? For me, being a keyboard player, is that Jeff was a lead player that always included me. And I know that I don't mean that in a selfish way, but I mean it in the way that he was so giving to people, and that he was not afraid to throw me a solo. And I've played with many guitar players. Some of them don't like to give that up. And he was always willing to throw me the glance and say, you take it. Yeah. So he was always willing to lift me up. And I appreciated that so much. Because, you know, we've said in a previous interview that I tend to be an ensemble guy. I like the bed. I like to lay in the weeds and fill it out. And he was the one that would go boom and made me a better player, I think.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you for that. Very nice. Yeah. Lars?
Well, I guess when I think about Jeff, I think of the music first. I met him actually when he was working in the beer and paper mill. Huh. And he was not a happy camper working there. And once I saw his collection of Grateful Dead bootlegs all laid out on the floor of his place, all in order, he was always about the music. And such a, like Mark said, he would always be encouraging. After I kind of got out of the band thing for a while, he gave me a guitar to try to learn, which I never mastered. But he was, if you'd go to somebody else's gig, 9 times out of 10, if he was there, he would be helping them set up, load in. He did that even when he was in assisted living, when they'd have the guest people. Very, very, very giving person and very nice to anybody. If you want to talk about music, he was the guy to talk to. He had a real encyclopedic memory of who played what on what tracks, and it would astound me at times.
Very well said. And thank you for referencing that, Lars. I had almost forgotten about that for just a half a second. That's such a good note about him. Milo.
Oh, I met him years ago when we were playing at the downtown outside thing, outside Holly Rocks. They used to set up a flatbed, and he was, boy, I was young, so I can't imagine how old he was. I'm not sure. But he came up at break time and wanted to know if he could get up and play a couple songs. And we said, okay. And he did, and did great, you know, and he was just a very young kid. If I was like 27, what would he be? Young.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the next time I saw him was when he joined the Lizards. And
Wow.
I think you got him to play that O'Day's gig, right?
The very first Lizard gig.
Yeah,
you got strep throat.
Yeah.
And Jeff filled in just on the drop of a hat.
Really?
Did a great job.
So we discovered that Jeff was the lead guitar player in our first official paid gig.
Yes, we got money.
Cool is that? I just got goosebumps, you guys. That is awesome. That is really cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
We didn't know it until last night.
Yeah, we were discussing how things happened and... It's like, oh yeah, that's right.
That's remarkable. That is really cool. We're speaking about Jeff Goss, who local musician, songwriter, just Renaissance guy, talent. In 2018, Jeff Goss was diagnosed with two forms of early onset dementia. We lost Jeff shortly after that, and it's part of the reason we're here today, while we're carrying on his legacy and carrying on his music. And one of the things that I know that Jeff would appreciate, because he talked to me about this with other musicians, the time that we were friends, there were musicians that would pass away, and we would get together and talk about them. And he was one of the first people I would go to when a big name, especially a guitarist, would pass. I mentioned this before. I got introduced to Jeff outside of music, but kind of with music, because I'm sitting there at Holly Rocks waiting for things to wrap up, and I'm talking with Lexi and another friend of mine, and I'm one of my go-tos was in conversation was talking about underrated guitar players. My father treats lead guitarists like they're quarterbacks. Like, I can tell you every single lead guitar player and every lick and all this stuff and everything. And I'm rambling about how I think Frank Zappa is the most underrated guitar player of all time, and I'm, you know, I've had a couple, and I'm going on and on about it. And at the end of the bar, I can feel this guy staring daggers at me. Just daggers. And I don't know who this guy is, and I don't know what's coming, but I know something's going to happen. And without batting an eye, I get a beer delivered to me. And I get the beer, and I look over, and it's him. And he tips me. He's like, Todd Rundgren. Todd Rundgren. And he just starts championing. Todd Rundgren, just championing. He slides over to me. And we not only closed the bar and helped Lexi close up, but I went back to the studio with him, and he's playing all this Rundgren I'd never heard, and live albums and stuff that my dad didn't even play for me. And I got a lifetime friend there. I got somebody that I would never not talk to for the rest of the next 10, 15 years, whatever it was. Maybe we'd go a couple months without talking, but we would always touch base. And one of the things that I was so appreciative of Jeff was, at that time, I had just started in radio. I'm working part-time. I'm trying to put two pennies together. And he knew this. And I didn't even have to really ask him. He was like, you know, if you want to make a couple bucks, I could use, you know, some help setting up and everything. He didn't need somebody to help him set up. He just offered it to me. Just gave me an opportunity and gave me a chance to make a couple bucks, and while checking some live music that he knew I loved and everything. Just adding on to something that you guys have all touched on about his heart. And his team effort, his the way he would approach things. Even outside of music, I think he was like that. And I always appreciate that about him. One of my favorite memories of Jeff is the something that Lars was touching on, his encyclopedia of music was so well put. It's a great way. It's a way I'm going to think of it the rest of my life, Lars, because that is what he had up there. He had the whole encyclopedia up there. Every time I thought I could stump him, no. Like, and then he would like go, but oh yeah, you think you know this song? Well, did you hear this one and this one? And they're like, okay, yeah, just go ahead. One night we're together, and I don't remember how. Oh, we were talking. I was asking about the band. Because I didn't know much about the band, Bob Dylan's, you know, backup guys and stuff. And he's like, well, you know about the waltz, right? I was like, yeah, my dad played it for me once and everything, the album. I'd never seen the live footage or anything. And so I got there probably about 11, 10 at night, something like that. We're wrapping up, and I'm leaving, and the sun is out. I did not realize that it was morning. I had no idea, because I was so... It wasn't just that he had this encyclopedia. His passion was contagious. There were artists that I would talk about with him through the years that I didn't necessarily... Like, I'm not a huge Dylan guy. I respect Bob Dylan and all Get Out. But this music is just here or there for me. But then I would get talking to him about Bob Dylan, and I would understand him on a whole different level because his passion was so contagious. Over the years, were there music moments like that for you guys? I can't be the only one he did this to. Is there any memories or anything like off the top of your heads where it was like, Jeff turned me on to this, or Jeff and I had listening sessions of this band, or anything like that that you guys can remember?
Well, I know one of the things that always astounded me about Jeff, and I guess it does go to his personality, was, you know, you mentioned Todd Rundgren. He had a personal connection with Todd. I mean, Todd would say, "Hi, Weevil."
Yeah.
I had a show. He also had a really good friendship with Fee from the Tubes.
Yeah.
And would regale us with stories of hanging out yes. with the Tubes. And, you know... At first, you're like, really? And then you realize, well, this is the real deal. Mm. And, of course, Buck Dharma
yes.
And Danny Miranda from Blue Oyster Cult. Mm. So that ability for him to connect with these people, and then he brought us. I mean, I got to meet Todd and hang out with Todd because I was with Jeff. Mm. And we were introduced to Buck largely through Jeff, although
Jeff and Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie was a big mm-hmm. BOC board on the fan boards.
Yeah,
which was ironic because they kind of connected like that. So that's the one thing that I know he did to inspire me, was that he introduced us to these people, and we got to hang out with musicians that. As an equal rather than as a fanboy.
Right on.
Yeah. And that was really cool, I think.
One great story we went to see when Todd joined the New Cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, his two original members of the mm-hmm. Cars and Prairie Prince and Todd, I think, was. Anyway, so afterwards we're going to go. They have a place up above the stage where the band goes. And so Jeff was, you know, let's go. And, we get there, and this big guard, whoop, sorry, boys, can't get past here. And Jeff opens his chest, and he's got this round badge. And he goes, "Ooh, the round badge, welcome aboard."
Yeah,
awesome. It was often said, if you wanted to go meet a band, go to a show with Jeff. Mm. Jeff would find a way to get backstage.
Every band.
Just
local bands.
Put your finger through his belt loop and just follow him.
Because if you let go of the belt loop, he was gone.
That was not only well written, Lars, but that felt like some personal. Like you're like that. There was a story. Should we, you want to take a break here, Seth, or should we keep going for a little bit? Let's keep going for a little bit, because I want to talk about the bands that he was in. We'll wrap up with his time with the Lizards, but let's start with the Weevils, and making sure that we bring some attention to that, too. Not only one of his passion projects and loves, but the fan base of that band is still strong and still like asking for stuff. I had mentioned during our interview with you guys with the Lizards and everything that we were going to be doing this eventually, and the feedback I got from some people, and all of them Weevil fans, all of them like, "Hey, you going to play any Weevil music in that segment? Are you going to do any of this?" And it's so cool to see. And I think we get that about, you know, because we knew Jeff and everything. But when I take a step back sometimes, I'm just floored by this community and this area, by the way that we, the people that we take in
and how we remember them. You know, Dick Trickle is still an icon in this area, and he hasn't raced in, you know, 20 years or anything like longer than that. I think these things are noteworthy. I think it's really cool about and special and unique about this area. When it comes to the these other bands, what can we tell people about them that may have not heard the bands? You know, there was a difference between the Weevils and the Lizards and KGP. There's and it was very intentional to Jeff that there was a difference between them. Not in any you know reason that he didn't love those other bands. Jeff was just so adamant about, oh, this has got to be different. This, if I'm going to put my energy and time into this, it's got to be different. I want to do something that's going to, you know, get his creative juices going in a different route.
I found out yesterday from Travis that Jeff's first band was actually called Envelopment.
Well, I
didn't
know that.
I didn't know that
either. Oh, wow, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Huh.
From Rapids here?
No. I guess I don't know. It might have been a college band or a... I don't really know.
Yeah, because he's definitely all around the area for quite a while there, especially.
I don't have any recordings of it.
Interesting. That's still a great note. That's great to hear.
Then in Madison, he played with the blues guy.
Clyde Stubbles.
Yes, Clyde. Yes, thank you, Milo. Yeah. Yes, that's right. I forgot about that.
Who we got the disco beat from.
Yeah. See, this is the catch with doing a tribute to Jeff. There's so much we're not going to be able to cover. Oh, yeah. There's just so much. There's too much. We could do a three-parter of this and not cover everything with that guy. Because it's funny, Ben Shitek, who, of course, part of the Lizards now and everything, and a great local musician we all love and everything. Ben's been with us a bunch of times, and I tease Ben all the time about being in so many bands. When I do that, one of the first thoughts I have is Jeff. Because before I knew Ben, I knew Jeff being a part of, like, wait a minute, what's KGP? I didn't even know about this. And he'd tell me about that and play a bunch of their music. With each of these bands, what would you say would be the difference between, like, KGP and the Weevils?
With the Weevils, I think Jeff was the guiding light, the leading influence on that. It was the first time I had ever heard a band do Frank Zappa. Mm. It was... Jeff wasn't afraid to stretch, and they did their own take on a lot of Grateful Dead songs. Jeff was a huge Deadhead.
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid to experiment and encourage other people to play just as weird as they wanted to. I'm thinking of that keyboard player they had.
John Finucane.
Yeah.
Who was a master.
Yeah. Almost too much.
Almost too much for Jeff.
Interesting.
KGP
got into more of the
originals.
Yeah.
Yeah. He with the Weevils especially, I know he wanted to be able to kind of do a little bit of his own thing, do a little bit of leading, but also I know he had other songs like you were touching on there, Lars, that he wanted to play that maybe wouldn't be playing with other bands. So he was able to cover a lot of that too. So he was able to do a unique thing with everything that he put his imprint on. And we're going to be able to hear some of that and some of the music we're going to play for you, which we'll do when we come back on Director's Cut here at WFHR.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
They might as well be dead. If the rain
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everyone. We are sitting back with Lars, Milo, and Mark, and we are talking about a tribute to Jeff Weevil, to Jeff Goss. And Weevil is his nickname, and Jeff was one of these guys that I feel like if we spent 4 or 5 episodes on, we wouldn't cover everything. But I did want to mention, of course, Jeff was a local. Jeff graduated from Lincoln High School in Wisconsin Rapids in 1982, went on to earn a degree in marketing from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and was such a believer in this area and a believer in this area's sound and the artist of this area. Jeff, one of the things that I always thought was noteworthy about him was his... He's so busy. He's got all these bands. He's doing all this stuff. And we all know his connection with his parents and how much he cared for them, how much time he would spend with taking care of, you know, family members and being there for family members. But then with all of that going on, and still, if Connie would call from FRM, Jeff was the first one there. He'd be right there for you. He was one of the big promoters of local festivals and events. If he wasn't the one playing it, he was helping schedule it and set up bands for it and everything and getting bands gigs. I don't know what you would call all of that he did, but I wanted to bring attention to it because I think it's just a part of his legacy as his guitar playing.
Oh, for sure. The balloon rallies that we had in town.
Yes, thank you. The balloon rallies, man. For that. Your memory, brother. I'm telling you, I know you kick yourself for it sometimes, but you got a better memory than I do, I think. And thank you for that. That was a good one. The balloon rallies were some of those early things that I heard about him being a part of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those were good. And different events like that. Did you guys have memories of Jeff reaching out to you about playing at some of these events and everything? Was there any last second things that Jeff ever reached out to you about? Especially with music, I can only imagine that had to have happened.
Can't think of any.
Yeah. Right on.
I mean, we usually schedule things. Well, you know, later on when Jeff started losing it, the scheduling became a problem for us.
Yeah.
You know, double bookings and things like that. But other than that, he was a master at it.
Really was. Yeah.
Well, his real passion, I know, was leading the Monday night jam sessions at Holly Rocks.
Yeah.
And he always encouraged new musicians and people he didn't know to get up, let's see what you got. If I was there, which I was there quite a bit, he would ask me if I felt like singing or performing that night, and he would always give me one right across the plate that I could hit out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say. He could MC things.
Yes.
He did that at FRM, and he was fantastic. He could keep on talking, keep the crowd entertained, and pick up a guitar, do a few riffs. Here, win this guitar. He kept things moving.
At the jam session, when it wasn't even a jam session, it was him a solo playing on his acoustic guitar at Holly Rocks, and he wrote this song about this guy that was walking in from across the street on the spot. Nobody knew it wasn't a real song.
That's amazing.
He was
sneaky that way about stuff where he would pull out his guitar, and I got used to seeing him do that and playing his guitar, that he would pull it out very nonchalantly and then, something like, and then he'd just wail on it. And it just goes, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot how amazing he is on that thing. You get so used to talking to him about this stuff that you would kind of forget it sometimes as just an observer, just as somebody who wasn't a part of the band and everything. His attitude towards this area and his effort to support other artists was always very noteworthy to me too. Anytime I would try to compliment him, he would deflect it and put it onto somebody else. I think Jeff, like anybody who makes it anywhere in entertainment, had a healthy ego. I'm not saying that the man wasn't, Mother Teresa or something like that. But he was very good about, as Milo was talking about, Mark was talking about, but being able to look at the others and bring out the best in everybody, the rising tide raising all boats kind of thing. When it comes to favorite like memories of him, I'm hesitant to ask that question only because I can't imagine how many there are and how many we can actually share. How many? go ahead and think about it for a second there, guys. While you're thinking about it, I think that it'd be nice to be able to note as well Connie Tomsky-Fayville, who is another kind of our fifth Beatle here at Director's Cut. Connie does a great job with our scheduling and helping us with scheduling, and she was a huge part of bringing this all together so that we could do this. I just wanted to say thank you to Connie, and thank you to our friends at FRM. Of course, something that Jeff cared very deeply about as well. So that just ties right into all of this. Any memories that pop to your minds right away, guys? I don't want to put anybody in spot. Anybody want to jump ahead here?
Well, I guess I'm responsible. I took Jeff to his last live show that he saw. There was a band called Cracker that played up at Stevens Point for the Riverfront Rendezvous. I told Jeff I would take him there, and that's one thing he didn't forget. And he would call, are we going, are we going, are we going? And I was really, really happy. I know their set lists and things like that, and I was really hoping that they would pull a Loser from the Grateful Dead out of their pockets. Mm. And we had Jeff sitting there, and we had a glow stick on him so we could keep track of him. Maybe he wandered off. Mm-hmm. And they, sure enough, they went into the Grateful Dead, and Jeff says, I got to get a little closer, and I moved my chair so he could scoot up a little. No. He was up and running to the front of the stage, and I think Jerry was in the house. He said,
yeah, he said, that's awesome.
He said, that was fantastic. And I still remember the smile on his face. I was glad that he got to experience that.
Thank you.
Speaking of wandering, because that was also a big part of his personality.
Yes.
This one at the time was a little weird, but in, I guess, looking back, I find the humor in it. We were playing up in Minocqua, and I don't think it was Halloween. It was a Halloween gig. We played at a bar in Minocqua, and Jeff knew like the owner because they had played up there with the Weevils. He knew the cook. He knew a couple of the locals, and we had gotten done playing. And you know, it's bar time, and we're packing up the trailer and we're getting ready to go back to the hotel, and we're like, where's Jeff? Because all of his whole rig was still set up in the corner of the bar, and we're like, literally the truck is running, and it turns out he had gone across the street to what was the guy's nickname? It was
I don't remember.
It was some heavy metal goth satanic kind of guy, for lack of a better term for it. And he had just like gone across to listen to music and have fun, and we're like, what are we gonna do? So we wound up leaving him. And, you know, it was getting to be 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're like, where's Jeff? And so we went back to the motel, and I don't know how he made it back, but he was a little miffed that we had left. So we had to explain to him exactly, and he's like, oh, yeah, okay. So that wandering aspect was always fun and interesting, and you never knew where it was going to lead. So that was pretty fun. Actually.
Yeah, later.
Later.
Now it is, right?
Milo, did you have anything in a pop of mine?
Well, just poopies, and I don't know if that's appropriate for
Yeah. It works, though. Yeah, it's a reference.
That's one. Remember that one?
Which one?
When we were playing at that little gazebo at a wedding, and Jeff had to go really bad. And so he goes in there, and there's this 4-year-old kids up there going, "Poopies, Bobby, poopies." So Jeff comes back out and goes, "Poopies." And that lasted for years.
Well, you know, and there is another scatological story.
Scatological.
Nice, nice.
We were playing Lake Arrowhead.
Okay.
And it was a special event. And for some reason that we're still not sure of, the bar manager put us in an adjacent room where there was probably wedding receptions.
Okay.
Meanwhile, this huge gathering is packing in the bar. So we're playing to like two people and a family of four with little kids. And the bar, and we're like, why didn't they put us in where all the people are? Well, we start playing Evil Ways, Santana. Oh. And halfway through the song, Jeff realizes he's not going to make it till the end of the song. So, again, he puts his guitar down and goes running for the facilities, and we're like, okay. So I think we played Evil Ways for
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Because we thought he was just going to be right back, and unbeknownst to us, there was some issues. So we're just good at playing Evil Ways, and I can't solo anymore because I'm tapped out. And he, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, he comes back, picks up his guitar, and really, we end the song. As though he never had.
And, like it was planned. Like it was,
but it was like, well, go with the flow.
What do you got in your way?
I'm not going to say go with the flow.
That was perfect, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God, am I glad I heard that story.
Oh, that's great.
He, there was a time where he, like, this, just to add on, I didn't even remember this story. I wasn't even going to include this, but I stopped by and I was running a little late. I get over to his apartment, I think, or over to his house. I get there and he's like, hey, good to see you and everything. We're setting up. We're getting ready to talk. I think we're going to watch some football. And he's like, yeah. And he goes into the other room. And I'm like just sitting there watching. I'm just watching. And like the first quarter's about to end. It's like, where has he been? Where is he? He left. He left. Somebody had reached out, asked him for like a guitar string or something like that. It was very last second. And he was texting with them. And he just kind of like, as he was texting, went out, got in the car, went over there, came back, and like just walks into the room like nothing. Like nothing. Like just, hey, yeah, hey, how, oh, you're still here. Great. Like, so yeah, you invited me over.
Make yourself at home.
He was so great about that, though. I mean, he was so. It's funny to think that, and I don't think I thought about this when he was with us. But his guitar playing to me always seemed so natural and so effortless, and he really lived life that way. Like, he really, like, the way he played is the way that he lived. Like, it was very, yeah, he had a lot of thought and an incredibly smart guy. Did not live by the seat of his pants by any means, but so much of things were like that for him, though, where things would pop up and he'd just go take care of it, whether it was the bathroom or it was, you know, running around to do some errands or something. I think this is a great place, too, to get to some more music of Jeff's. We'll do that. We'll come back and wrap things up here on Director's Cut.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 58. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 70. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
Want it today. Well, don't you want it that way? No.
make it happen. If you want it that way, but you want it today, but you want it that way, want it today, want it that way, but you want it today, want it that way, want it today. Well, don't you want it that way now, want it today. Come on and make it happen. Make it happen. Let's go and make it happen. Make it happen.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here at WFHR. We're sitting back with Milo, Mark, Lars. A tribute to Jeff Goss is what we're doing today. We've been enjoying a lot of conversations, a lot of stories about Jeff, and playing some of his music as we wrap up here. Lars, you were touching on something in our kind of pregame there a little bit. You mind sharing that story?
Well, Bill Rudenzel, who played lead guitar in the Lizards prior to Jeff joining, grew up by Jeff and was very good friends with him, and they decided they would learn how to play guitar. Bill had a little bit of a head start on Jeff, so he would show Jeff different riffs and different songs and different chords. And then he played Walk Don't Run by The Ventures for Jeff. And it's a simple little surf song like that, and Jeff goes, "Wow, that was fantastic. Who did that?" And Bill said, "Well, I wrote it." Yeah, Jeff bought into that for quite a while.
Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know how you, I don't know how you do this with anybody, but especially somebody like Jeff, how you wrap up a conversation about him. So one of the things that I wanted to come through with this was that we don't have to. But we're lucky. We don't get to do this with necessarily everybody that we love and lose. But with somebody like a musician like Jeff, we never have to let him go. We've got his music. We've got his memories, and we get to keep sharing that and keep his legacy alive and make sure that others get to hear his great playing, get to hear his sound, his spirit. I wanted to give you each a chance to wrap this up and comment on Jeff. I don't know how much more you could say that we haven't, but if there is any closing thoughts, please. Mark, you got some?
Yeah, our last release, Memoria, was really a memorial to Jeff, and it was all about our experiences with him. And good times and bad. It was our chance to say goodbye. I still cry when I hear This Is Goodbye on the album. I'm not sure what the song was, but there's a line in one of the songs that could be taken a couple different ways. And the line is, his family all thinks he knows, his family thinks they all know what's best. And I realize it can come across to some people as a negative, but the positive spin on it from us is that he had many families. He had his Weevils family. He had his Madison family. He had his Lizard family. He had his family. He had the Holly Rocks Jam family.
Oh, yeah.
And we all were trying to do what's best. But the positive part is that he had this huge extended family that cared about him. And I hope that's what that line in the song really communicates, that he had, many, many, many people that were plugging for him.
And many people giving their opinion on how to should be handled.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a nice, another one of those bringing you back to reality kind of moments with this. When it comes to anything involving the brain, but especially dementia, almost all of us have been touched by this, and even without the story of Jeff. We've had different situations. I know that I have, and I imagine that you guys have as well. It gives another reminder, though, and every day that I think of Jeff, every time I do think of him, it is another reminder. I'm reminded of the guitar playing, the humanitarian in him, and all those other things. I'm also reminded of my Nana, who I lost from dementia and Alzheimer's, who I never felt like I appreciated enough, even though she lived long into her, you know, early 90s and everything. I still felt like we lost her too early. Then you have somebody like Jeff, who we damn sure lost too early. It's another reminder. We need to appreciate each other more. We need to love each other more. Tell the people that you love in your life that you love them. Go out of your way to do it. I don't care if it's awkward. Be awkward. It's worth it. You can never say it enough, never do it enough. And I know that each of us miss him every day. We think about him all the time. And I know that tonight, this weekend, I'm going to be spending listening to a lot of Jeff music and probably laughing my head off at some of the music that I thought I had on him and I didn't. There's so many. Thank you all for the time. I really do appreciate you being here. We will have in our notes, and we'll be sure to mention other ways that you can take in Jeff's music, but we do appreciate you taking in this episode, everyone. Again, a big thank you to Connie and our friends at FRM Music for being here. Milo, Mark, Lars, thank you guys. I respect and appreciate you all so much for so long, and getting to share this time with you is humbling for me. So thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, guys. That'll be it for Director's Cut for now, but Weevil lives on, everybody. Be weird and enjoy.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking
WFHR,
challenges.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.